Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin.
Today is April 30th, 2010, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 168, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, pharmaceutical tester. Get the full story on anything we talk about here on today's show. You can visit MacObserver.com/ACM, and if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note.
Pew, 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 pew!
At ACM at MacObserver.com.
Yay! You know, you really are a pharmaceutical tester today.
I am. I had some dental work done last week, and
And so you're on Vicodin right now.
I am on Vicodin right now. Yep.
Yeah, I've been there. I've done that, and I have the flashbacks. Yeah. And I'm sorry about your mouth, and I hope your tooth gets to feeling better soon.
Thank you, and I apologize for anything I may say in this episode.
You know, the only difference between what you'll say in this episode and any other is that today you'll actually be able to say, well, I am on Vicodin. It's pretty much going to be the same stuff.
Indeed. Now, in the meanwhile, you can follow me on Twitter, should you be so inclined, at twitter.com/TMOBrian. It's Brian with a Y.
And I'm on Twitter, too, which I know, what a surprise.
What a surprise.
You can find me at twitter.com/JGamet. That's J-G-A-M-E-T. And, yeah, it's always an adventure to see what weird and pithy little things we come up with throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the meanwhile, we actually have a lot to talk about and not a whole lot of time, so we should probably just get to it.
I think that sounds like a great idea. The iPad is already finding new markets to move into. Adobe isn't happy with Apple's stance on Flash, and Microsoft isn't all that excited about Flash, either. HTC, however, seems fairly happy with Microsoft, or at least happy enough to pay Big Redmond licensing fees for using Google's Android. Confused? You won't be after this episode of Soap.
iPads are beginning to show up in the workplace, and we aren't talking about that guy that brings his to the office, you know, and leaves it sitting on the corner of his desk and hopes that someone will ask him about it. You know who you are, Randall. No, we're talking about a couple of iPads that were seen being used in places it's doubtful Apple really considered when it was designing the darn thing in the first place. The first one was Indy race car driver, I should say, Tony Kanaan. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. It is now. That's how we pronounce it. He was spotted with an iPad in the cockpit of his race car in the Long Beach Grand Prix shortly after the device was released. Turns out his engineering team figured out how to feed the kind of statistics and race information they used to give him on an erasable board or paper, and they feed it now directly to an iPad and just hand it to him when he pulls into the pit stop. Now, he just wants to carry it with him all the time so that he doesn't have to, you know, get that split second of having it handed to him. I think that's exactly how... I think that's an actual sample from an Indy race, I'm sure.
You know, from all the races I've been to, yeah, that's exactly how they sound.
The other interesting story we noticed, too much fun, was about a TV station that started using iPads for reading its scripts in place of paper. The station estimates it is saving $2,000 each and every month on paper, ink, and maintenance costs for their printers by leaving paper behind. That's $24,000 per year for those keeping score at home, and that represents not only a fiscal savings, but also a reduction in the station's carbon footprint, which of course carries its own benefits.
And HTC has agreed to pay patent licensing fees to Microsoft for the Android-based mobile phones it builds. According to Microsoft, HTC's phones that run Google's Android OS, and that includes Google's own Nexus One, they use technology that it controls. The two companies aren't saying exactly which parts of the Android OS overlap Microsoft's patent portfolio, nor did Microsoft hint at whether or not it might approach Google for licensing discussions, too. And the deal will likely work out well for Microsoft.
So, my God, where do we even start with Flash?
Well, why not start with the only guy that matters?
Fair enough. All right. So, on Thursday, Steve Jobs pinned a 1,700-word love letter to his hatred of Flash. More specifically, he published an open letter to Adobe and the world at large that laid out his case for why Apple is refusing to let Flash on both the iPhone and iPad. The 18-word summary is that Flash is old, proprietary technology that's unstable, has security issues, and is too demanding for mobile device batteries. Now, for this reason, Apple is turning to open standards known collectively as HTML5 for delivering the kinds of interactive content that has heretofore used Flash. And so far, many major publishers and website operators are coming out of the woodwork to dance to Apple's tune and are moving their interactive content over to HTML5 so that they can be seen on Apple's iPad and iPhone.
Now, this isn't some kind of one-way war of words, however, and Adobe has been lobbing its own rhetorical missiles at Apple and the iPhone. For instance, Adobe has publicly abandoned the iPhone for its Flash platform, thereby ending any real chance of some kind of Apple-Adobe Flash love fest in the future. Instead, Adobe is embracing all of the other mobile platforms, and Android in particular, saying that the iPhone isn't the only game in town. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Adobe CEO Shantanu Narayen dismissed most of the assertions of Steve Jobs' open letter and iterated the case that Flash is good for developers by allowing write-once, deploy-everywhere development, and for consumers because it allows them to choose how they get their content. He also denied Mr. Jobs' claim that having Flash active on a mobile device drains battery life, calling the claim, quote-unquote, patently false. He called other technology charges leveled by Mr. Jobs a smokescreen, adding, quote, when you resort to licensing language to restrict this sort of development, it has nothing to do with the technology, unquote. He even had the brass balls to say that if Flash is the number one cause of crashes on the Mac platform, then it's a problem with Mac OS X and not a problem with Flash.
Now, believe it or not, Microsoft is kind of on Apple's side on this issue. The company's general manager of Internet Explorer, Dean weighed in on the debate on Friday to side with Apple when he announced that Internet Explorer 9 will support only H.264 video playback. He said, quote, we think H.264 is an excellent format and its HTML5 support, i.e. 9, will support playback of H.264 video only. To sort of be repetitive on our part, unquote. He added that H.264 is an industry standard with broad and strong hardware support and that there are reliability, security, and performance issues with Flash, which sounds a lot like what Steve Jobs is saying. And that sound means it's time for the Context Machine, where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. And why don't we go in order today, Jeff?
That's kind of new for us. We usually jump around. So,
it is.
We'll mix it up and go linear.
The vertical markets thing. You know, I was really, really interested in these two stories that we ran today. Today is Friday when we're recording this. And the first one, of course, being this race car driver who's using an iPad to get, the stats.
Right.
Things he needs in race rather than, people writing it down on a board and handing it to him.
And it's interesting, yeah.
It is interesting. And because, I really kind of doubt that there was, one of the brainiacs at Apple saying, and I really think that the IndyCar racing could really end up using these. I don't think that was a discussion that was probably held in Cupertino. But then you have this TV station, and they're adopting the iPad not because it's cool or because it's going to give them some sort of increased abilities or productivity or something like that, although it does do that also. It's because it's saving them money.
Yeah, you know, there's probably a little bit of the cool factor in there, too. But, yeah, it's saving them money. Yeah. A lot of money.
A lot of money, right. I mean, you know, 24,000. We don't actually know how many iPads they're using. But it's saving $24,000 a year. You know, if they bought 10 iPads, they'd still be coming out ahead. And then, of course, next year it's all gravy.
Right. And, yeah, and they're saving paper.
What am I saying? I've got that. The 40 iPods, right? Yeah, 40. Well, 40, yeah, they could have bought 40 iPads at $500 a piece.
Yeah, but okay. And see, I didn't catch that because I was thinking 10 sounds like a totally reasonable number for them to have, because then all the different talking heads can have them. And then
yeah, it's really probably, though, it's probably only like 4 or 5.
I mean, right. Just, yeah, it's not like a giant station. So
right, you know, and they're talking about, you know, they're using scripts for local commercial production, for the anchors to use, the promos that are recorded, that sort of thing. That's what local stations tend to actually produce on their own. The news being the most important one, and then of course the local commercials that they film and develop there at the station.
Right, and with using an iPad instead of the traditional paper-based system they've been relying on, they can do real-time changes and not have to worry about how do you quickly sneak new copy out to an anchor. It can all be done right there in front of them all the time.
Right, I mean, yeah, anchors can just, you know, flip the pages back and forth just like, you know, we do with everything else. On an iPad, and I mean, it's really interesting to me, and here's why it's interesting, because not only is it just sort of a fun story, but this station did this using a non-proprietary approach. In other words, you know, they didn't have they didn't do whatever it is that Tony Kanaan's team did and you know, develop some sort of custom app or a custom web page. They just got a PDF reader from the App Store, and they email these scripts to the iPads as needed, and then open them up in this PDF reader, which is honestly, I think, a little bit more cumbersome than it needs to be, and probably will become as other solutions present themselves. Are you with me there?
I am, but the point is, for $7 an iPad, they were able to put an application on here that allows them to do what they need, which is to be able to read scripts.
Right.
And at some point down the road, someone's going to look at this and go, oh, there's a real opportunity here. Let's write applications that let people, you know, interactively get the content back and forth to news anchors.
Right. Like in this case, for instance, pushing the script live between the writer and the iPad.
Right.
So that it's, you know, like some sort of real-time update, and they're not having to use a cumbersome method like, you know, emailing the script or anything like that.
Right. But the fact that these people did this shows that there's a desire for using the iPad in the newsroom and on screen.
Right. And this is what we call a vertical market. It's a market that sort of exists into and of itself. And you know, there's it's called vertical because it literally just doesn't touch many other side markets. So Apple has traditionally not done well with vertical markets. It's just not the company's strong suit.
Well, you brought up a point when we were talking before the show, which I think is totally spot on, which is that Steve Jobs is all about creating these really great products and making them as good as they can be to fit his vision, and then let someone else worry about how people are going to use them.
Yeah, as long as, of course, they use them the way Apple wants them to use, more or less. Another issue. That's another show. In this case, where I think the opportunity is that once vertical markets start thinking the same way this TV station is thinking, that Apple could end up getting a lot of devices sold to these vertical markets as they develop apps.
Oh, sure. And I have a feeling, as long as the apps are good, that they'll be able to get people to really line up to snatch up iPads.
Yeah. I think we're, like Apple, you know, there are a lot of doctors and dentists' offices that love their Macs, and there are a couple of Mac solutions for these kinds of offices, but there's nowhere near as many solutions as there are for Windows. I mean, nowhere near as many. And most right. doctors and dentist offices are based on Windows. Well, I think that the iPad might end up changing that in a way that the Mac never was able to. You know, just from everything from, you know, customers or patients signing in their personal information to, you know, appointments and, you know, just all kinds of things. I think that the iPad is going to lend itself to as the industry starts thinking about it. Same thing with warehouses. I've always thought that Apple had a really good opportunity at selling a great tablet solution to warehouses, but it's going to take a third-party company to actually develop the software that'll actually make that possible.
You know, tablet PCs have been popular in warehouse environments for a while now, mm-hmm. but compared to an iPad, they're a lot more cumbersome. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't surprise me to see someone adapt the whole tablet computer idea to the warehouse market on the iPad. And it wouldn't surprise me then to see a lot of companies retire their tablet PCs yeah. in favor of something like this.
Absolutely. High-end hair salons, restaurants. I mean, you know,
high-end hair salons like the ones you go to, right?
Yes, exactly. You can go on and on and on with these sort of vertical markets, and at some point, the developers that pay attention to those markets are going to start developing solutions that really make sense for the iPad. And I think that Apple is going to be selling a lot of products, a lot of iPads, to these markets sooner rather than later.
Well, you know, the iPad is already selling really, really well. And
it's selling mostly to consumers.
True. But, I mean, there's a lot of these things going out the door. So imagine how many more Apple can sell when these third-party companies start cranking out these apps that really, really target all these different vertical markets.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it's going to end up being huge for the company.
I think so. And I think this explains why Apple has been focusing so much on what's going on with iPhone OS, because right. they know where, well, it's like the favorite quote, one of the favorite quotes of Steve Jobs, skate to where the puck is going to be.
Right. I didn't know that was one of his favorite quotes.
It is now. I know it's a quote he's used before. Therefore, I decree it one of his favorites.
And so shall it be.
That's right. So say we all.
So say we all. So I think to finish this up, this is the beginning of this sort of vertical market story, I think. And I look forward to actually seeing where it goes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very cool.
And do you know what makes us go?
Yes. Our awesome sponsors.
Yeah, awesome sponsors. And this week, we actually have two sponsors to the show, and they're both great companies. And let's talk about the first one, our friends, our longtime friends at Smile on My Mac.
Yes, Smile on My Mac. Awesome people that make awesome software for the Mac and now for the iPhone and iPad.
Yes.
So the product that I think we should hit today is Text Expander.
Yep.
Because it is such a cool product. Now, for those of you that don't know what Text Expander is, it's a very cool application that lets you type abbreviations or your own little custom little snippet things that this watch is for, and then when you type whatever it is, it automatically expands it out into a word, a phrase, or runs a script, or drops a graphic in to your document.
Super handy.
Yes, I rely on this every single day, and I'm not saying that because they're a sponsor. I'm saying it because it's true. Text Expander is really indispensable for me. So it can save tons of typing time. It makes sure that your accuracy stays up if you have things you have to type over and over and over again, because you don't type them. It types them for you. So absolutely fantastic application. And there's a version for the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. And you can synchronize the text snippets that you've created on your Mac with your iPhone or iPod.
Oh, that's even better.
iPad.
So you can create them on the Mac and then basically sync them up to your the mobile versions, and you're good to go.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
Yeah, it's very cool. And there's a lot of applications on the iPhone and iPad now that are text expander aware. So you can actually use all this stuff in a lot of other applications. But it's totally awesome, and I kind of got sidetracked from where I wanted to be, which was the Mac version. And it's awesome application. It's $34.95. And if you type a lot, you'll make that $34.95 back in short order.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. And now you can check it out, of course, at Smile on My Mac. But we want you to go to smileonmymac.com/AWR, which is our old name, but that's another story, to let them know that we sent you.
Right. And they have a nice little page there to say hi to you. And yeah, it's great software. Go check it out.
Yep. And right now there's a discount even for Disc Label, which is not the product we're talking about, but it's a discount for 20% off. So it's $28.76 for Disc Label right now.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. Always handy.
That's a handy app too.
Always handy. Only at smileonmymac.com. Sorry. smileonmymac.com/AWR.
Right.
All righty. Let's talk about
Now, see, I'm not saying anything because I know you're on Vicodin, and I'm just waiting to see where you end up.
Oh goodness. Let's talk about Microsoft inserting itself into the Android Apple fight.
Yeah, isn't that kind of interesting?
Right, and we're talking about Microsoft licensing its patent portfolio out to HTC.
Yeah, so you know, since it's about Android technology, you know, which is the operating system that Google developed for smartphones. Mm-hmm. Why are they going after HTC for a licensing, patent licensing deal instead of going to Google, the company that makes it?
Because Apple sued HTC for violating its patents.
Yeah, how about that?
So why would HTC want Microsoft's patents for Android phones? And there's one reason for that, and that's because it will now be substantially easier for the company to be able to fight Apple's patent charges with patents, in this case, that Microsoft owns.
So the deal is Microsoft thinks HTC was stepping on their patents. Apple thinks HTC is stepping on their patents.
Yeah, but no, actually, though, I think that what Microsoft saw was a chance to be a thorn in Apple's side.
Oh, sure. This is...
I don't really think that Microsoft thought that HTC was violating its patents. I mean, it's certainly possible that truly was the motivation, but I don't think so.
I think that plays into it. I think the fact that Microsoft was looking at what HTC was doing and they said, you're kind of crossing the line into our patents, mm-mm, became an easy tool to jump into the game.
And it's also possible that Microsoft simply saw a way to get some more money. Get some money for some phones that, you know, it otherwise wouldn't have seen a penny for.
Well, okay, and in that vein, what I think is incredibly delicious out of all this is that every time HTC makes a Google Nexus One phone, mm-hmm, Microsoft gets money for it.
Right.
Google has to pay for it.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's just incredibly
right.
funny.
But this is definitely going to make Apple's patent battle with HTC markedly more difficult. At the very least, it will make it markedly more complex. But I think it's going to be easier for HTC to defend against Apple's charges with this broader portfolio of patents on which to draw. And I think that's probably the most important aspect of this whole story is how it affects Apple.
Yeah, so now we get to wait and see how all this stuff plays out. And of course, there's just as much a chance that we'll end up covering what's going on in a courtroom with this as us covering the deal that they all strike.
Right.
And it never gets to court. And right now I'd say it's totally up in the air. On one hand, I'd kind of like it to end up in court so we can see what it is that that HTC holds up from Microsoft and what Apple is holding up saying, no, you know, this is what you're violating.
Right. Right, yeah, that's going to be an interesting battle. And the Microsoft sticking its nose in this has really, really made it a lot more complex and interesting to the outside observer at the very least.
Right. And of course, Microsoft has a vested interest in what happens in the smartphone market because there's Windows Mobile phones out there and they have their kin that they want to get rolling.
Right. So you would think that Microsoft would actually be interested in seeing Android squelched.
You know, I think Microsoft wants to see Android out there because the more smartphone platforms that are available, even if Microsoft is the dominant player, which they aren't right now.
Not even close.
No, but with multiple smartphone platforms out there, it's much easier for them to say, you know, look, here's another example of us not being a monopoly.
Yeah, I don't even think that's an issue anymore, Jeff, to be honest.
No?
No, I think that
we'll see,
that
we'll see what you say after the Vicodin.
After the what?
After the Vicodin wears off.
Fair enough.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Microsoft was like stashing little ideas like that away just in case they have to deal with the European Commission again. Or,
sure. You know. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right. Well, I want to talk about the Flash thing, and I know that we're running out of time. So let's bring our other sponsor on board, the good folks at Citrix.
Oh, yeah. That awesome people.
Yep. And they've got this great new product, GoTo Assist Express.
Yes, and I'm glad you said it because I butcher it every time I say it. I just don't have the diction, so thank you for getting it right.
Go to Assist Express. Go to Assist Express. Go to Assist Express. I say that 60 times every day.
Which is why you can pronounce it and I can't.
Exactly.
But I can say Hachimovich.
Hachimovich.
Yeah. Right.
So, all right. So, in the meanwhile, GoTo Assist Express is a product that allows you to control someone else's computer remotely
and securely.
And securely, easily, of course, with their permission.
Right. Hence part of the security part.
Right.
So, and the great thing is they don't have to install software in their computer for you to be able to make this work.
Right. Which is, you know, it makes it real easy, you know, especially if you have to do remote support for you know, in a professional setting, which there are lots of people that do remote support through a professional setting, but also even for, you know, like helping your mom and helping your aunt and your,
oh sure,
your, you know, worthless brother-in-law, Randall.
I shake my fist at you, Randall. Yeah, well, the idea of being able to offer family support or friend support like that without having to pack up and go to someone's house, which might be across town or across the city or across the country.
Right. And you know, Citrix makes GoTo My PC and GoTo Meeting. So, you know, this isn't like their first trip to the rodeo. They pretty much know what they're doing with this remote access stuff. So, you know it's easy, you know it's secure. And for those who are doing this professionally in particular, you know, it allows you to service more clients more efficiently and more affordably.
Which means more profit for you.
Mm-hmm. And if you go to gotoassist.com/machine, that's our special URL. Please go there. You can try this product for 30 days for free.
That's a nice deal.
It is. It is. Now, let's get on to Flash, because it's it's kind of fascinating to watch this back and forth between Adobe. You know, what's interesting, we were just talking about Microsoft and whether or not Microsoft was you know, I'm suggesting that Microsoft's main motivation here is to be a thorn in Apple's side. Well, Microsoft is effectively taking Apple's side on the Flash versus HTML5 issue.
They are, which it's, I guess what it comes down to is, even though we sometimes make fun of Microsoft for buffoonish actions, the company is very shrewd, and they know where to throw their alliances.
Or confused,
whatever.
So they're basically saying they're going to support H.264, and you know, and they're saying that Flash has got problems, but what they weren't saying is that Silverlight is the solution.
Yeah, it's interesting how Silverlight is cleverly left out of the whole discussion.
Now, it's probable that they're going to package up the support for H.264 through Silverlight, to be honest.
Okay, that I could see. Now,
that actually kind of makes sense.
It does make sense. The one thing that I'm going to be watching closely out of that is based on the fact that I'm going to call him Dean, because that's a lot easier to say. Because Dean said that H.264 will be the only video playback option that's directly supported by Internet Explorer 9.
Right.
So, so maybe what that comes down to is Silverlight will use H.264 as its video setup as well.
Right.
I can't see them dumping Silverlight.
No, I can't. I think that they should, but I don't think that they will. I mean, this is one of those times where Microsoft thinks that it needs to have a competitor in the race, and they just don't.
Now, you get the whole Silverlight name, right?
No, do tell.
Okay, so Adobe's product is called Flash.
Yeah.
And an old name for you know, the Flash that you would hold up where it kind of explodes?
Yeah.
Silverlight.
I did not know that.
Now you do.
That's super interesting.
And I'm betting that the whole Silverlight name comes from doing that kind of subtle jab at Flash.
Yeah, probably. So, in the meanwhile, of course, we've got Steve Jobs with his, as I called it, his love letter to his hatred of Flash. You know, I mean, this it was quite the manifesto, the anti-Flash manifesto that he put out, and I find it, you know, whether or not you agree with Apple on their support of Flash, I was stunned at Adobe's just sort of, you know, well, you know, if there's a problem with Flash and on the Mac, it's, you know, it's a problem with Mac OS X, and Apple's not the only game in town. I mean, it was just sort of this willful denial of the fact that they are under substantial siege.
You know, I totally get what Steve Jobs was saying, and actually, a lot of what Steve said are things that a lot of us have been talking about for weeks now, and he just basically reaffirmed what a lot of people have already been saying, and then Adobe turns around and kind of does the nuh-uh thing, and I see a lot of issues with Flash. And I see a lot of websites that are designed horribly using Flash. And a lot of that I put back onto Adobe for pushing Flash as a tool to the wrong people. And so they end up creating bad websites because they're using the wrong tool for what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
And also for trying to make Flash be all things for all developers. I fault Adobe for that. I think
yes,
that they lost sight of what they should be doing. And, you know, trying to use a technology intended to deliver you know, video or interactive content into development tools for standalone mobile apps for you know, every mobile platform. I mean, just You guys, I don't know. I understand why they did it, but I think it was a mistake.
Yeah. You know, Flash is a very powerful platform, and used correctly, can be very dynamic and very exciting. Unfortunately, most places I see Flash being used, it's not being used in that way.
Yep. Yeah, so the whole thing is interesting. The back and forth between them, Mr. Narayan's oblivious dismissal, Jobs specific attack. I think that Apple is going to win this fight. I think that more and more players are going to be using HTML5 for their deployment. You know, because something that's you know, we really haven't talked about at all in the various times we've mentioned this battle is the fact that if these companies end up not having to pay for Flash development tools, they're going to end up being able to save a ton of money.
That's true. Yeah.
Because you know, Adobe charges for the Flash development tools. That's where it makes its money off this platform, is in charging for the development tools. And the open standards that are out there, while there are certainly lots of commercial products that already exist for some aspects of HTML5 development, there's going to be a lot of open tools that are available for it too. I mean, there's a lot going on with all this, and I think that in the long run, Adobe is going to lose, and that Flash is going to become either more narrowly defined or more narrowly deployed, or both.
And you hit on an important thing long term. I do not expect to see this time next year Flash as a small time player. I mean, it's in a lot of places, and so it's going to take a long time for it to evolve and,
a year from
and
now,
become
half.
But still, that's a lot of places.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah, so I think in the long run, we will see this whole multimedia streaming thing move over to the H.264 or whatever it is that's better and open and next. And I think Flash will become a tool that's used in more specialized situations. And I think it'll probably be great in those situations. And then we'll have the video stuff happening in another way, and it'll balance out, and Adobe will still have relevance for Flash, and all these other companies will be happier with whatever it is that we're using. So H.264 plus.
Well, how about their comments though about the iPhone not being the only game in town? I mean, the thing I thought about that was just so ridiculous is the fact that iPhone customers are largely seen as the most desirable customers.
Right. And what I think Adobe is hoping is that Android will become far more relevant in relation to the iPhone, and that they can really get a foothold into the mobile phone market through Android.
Well, I'm sure that's what they're hoping. And I personally expect Android to eventually surpass iPhone in terms of market share. It should happen eventually. But even when it does, iPhone customers are still likely to be considered the most valuable customers. And iPhone, the Apple's App Store is probably going to still be far and away the most prolific and profitable app, the online marketplace on the internet. And so, you know, for Adobe to say that iPhone isn't the only game in town is, yes, it's true from a literal standpoint, but in many ways, it ain't true.
Yeah, and if you look at the smartphone base that Flash is on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there really isn't any game.
Right.
Yeah, the full-on Flash experience that Adobe's promising, now they're saying the second half of 2010, but they've been moving it back since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they're hopefully, for Adobe's sake, they're on track to really get Flash on Android in the second half of 2010, because right. it's slipping back far enough that it's going to become more and more of a problem for Adobe.
Right. Right. Alrighty. On that note, unfortunately, we have to bring this the episode to a close.
Right, which means what I need to say next is, if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to acm@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at twitter.com/tmobrian. That's Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. That's all for this week. Oh, theme song, Push Me Under by the Atomic Love Bombs.
That's right. Oh, and our Foley artist,
Melissa.
Yay! That's right. And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Trapped by love.